Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we turn complex financial reports into clear insights. I'm Alex, and with me, as always, is Jordan. Today, we're diving into Duke Energy's first quarter 2026 results. And folks, this utility giant is making some serious moves in the data center boom. Before we get started, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And wow, what a quarter for Duke Energy. They posted adjusted earnings per share of $1.93, beating last year's $1.76. But honestly, the earnings beat is just the appetizer here. The main course is this massive data center story that's unfolding.
Absolutely right, Jordan. Duke is sitting at the epicenter of this AI infrastructure build-out. They've now secured 7.6 gigawatts of electric service agreements with data centers. That's adding another 2.7 gigawatts just this quarter alone. To put that in perspective, we're talking about enough power for millions of homes.
And what I love about Duke's approach here is how they're protecting existing customers. CEO Harry Sideris really emphasized this. These new data center contracts include minimum demand provisions, credit support, refundable capital advances, and termination charges. Basically, if these big tech companies want Duke's power, they're paying their fair share up front.
That's crucial because one of the biggest concerns investors have had about this data center boom is whether utilities will stick existing customers with the bill for all this new infrastructure. Duke seems to have that covered. In fact, they're saying these incremental volumes will actually benefit all customers over time as system costs get spread over a larger base.
Speaking of customer benefits, Alex, did you catch those two major announcements that total over $5 billion in customer savings? First, they struck a multi-year deal to monetize up to $3.1 billion in clean energy tax credits through 2028, with proceeds flowing back to customers. And second, they got regulatory approval to combine their two Carolina utilities, which should save customers $2.3 billion through 2040.
Those are massive numbers, Jordan, and the timing is perfect because Duke has rate cases pending in the Carolinas right now. CFO Brian Savoy mentioned they might use some of these savings as tools to mitigate rate increases. Smart move. It shows regulators they're serious about keeping rates affordable, even as they invest heavily in new infrastructure.
Let's talk about that infrastructure investment because it's staggering. Duke is executing a $103 billion capital plan, that's with a B, and they're funding it through these strategic asset sales. They closed $2.8 billion from selling a minority stake in their Florida utility to Brookfield, plus another $2.5 billion from selling their Tennessee gas business to Spire.
Over $5 billion in proceeds that strengthen their balance sheet while funding growth. And they're not just building for data centers. They're adding 14 gigawatts of generation over the next 5 years. A big chunk of that is natural gas plants, including a 1.4 gigawatt facility in South Carolina that just got approved.
The nuclear angle is interesting too, Alex. Duke operates the largest regulated nuclear fleet in the nation, and they just got approval to extend the life of their Robinson nuclear plant. That's their second plant to reach this milestone, and they plan to seek similar extensions for all their remaining reactors. Nuclear provides about $600 million in annual tax credits to customers, so keeping these plants running is a win-win.
Now, Jordan, one thing that caught my attention in the Q&A was the discussion about new nuclear builds. There's industry chatter about utilities, hyperscalers, and government entities forming consortiums for new AP1000 reactors. When asked about this, Sideris was cautious, but didn't rule it out.
Right. He laid out three key requirements before Duke would move on new nuclear: solving first-of-a-kind technology risks, ensuring adequate supply chain and workforce, and managing financial risks to protect both customers and investors from cost overruns. Given the industry's history with nuclear construction delays and overruns, that's a prudent approach.
Let's talk geography for a moment. Duke is seeing accelerated interest across their territories. Charlotte, North Carolina is becoming a data center hub. Plus, they're getting lots of activity in Florida and southern Indiana. Having that geographic diversification across growing Sunbelt states is a real competitive advantage.
And their speed to power initiative is paying off. They've retooled their approach to large load customers, pulling together transmission, grid, and economic development teams to act as a one-stop shop. Being vertically integrated means they can plan transmission and generation together, which hyperscalers love.
The pipeline looks robust, too. Beyond the 7.6 gigawatts already signed, they have a high-confidence pipeline of 15.4 gigawatts total. Duke expects to convert more prospects to signed agreements over the next 12 months, with these newer projects coming online in the early to mid-2030s.
One analyst asked about potential moratoriums on data center development, something we've seen in other markets. But Sedaris sounded confident, noting that their ESAs require zoning and permits to be in place before signing, so about two-thirds of their signed projects are already under construction.
Looking at the financial guidance, Duke reaffirmed their 2026 earnings per share range of $6.55 to $6.80 and their 5% to 7% long-term growth rate through 2030. But here's the kicker. They're confident they'll earn in the top half of that range beginning in 2028 when the data center projects really start ramping up.
That confidence seems well-founded given the contracted nature of this growth. These aren't speculative investments. They have signed agreements with minimum take provisions and clear ramp schedules. The first 5 gigawatts are under construction now, with customers expected to start taking energy in the second half of 2027.
From a balance sheet perspective, they look solid. The asset sales gave them over $5 billion in proceeds. They issued $1.5 billion in convertible notes at just a 3% coupon, and they're targeting 15% funds from operations to debt over the long term. That provides meaningful cushion to their downgrade thresholds.
And let's not forget, they just celebrated their 100th consecutive year of paying quarterly dividends. That's the kind of track record income investors love to see, especially in volatile markets.
So what's the bottom line for investors, Jordan?
Duke is perfectly positioned for this once-in-a-generation data center buildout. They have the scale, the regulated utility model that provides cost recovery, and the geographic footprint in high-growth markets. The contracted nature of this growth provides visibility that most utilities can only dream of. That said, execution will be key. They're undertaking a massive construction program that needs to be delivered on time and on budget.
Agreed. The data center boom could be transformational for Duke, but it's not without risks. Construction inflation, supply chain issues, and regulatory challenges could all impact returns. Still, their disciplined approach to contracting and customer protection suggests management is thinking about this the right way.
Before we wrap up, I want to remind our listeners that everything we've discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please, do your own due diligence and consult with qualified professionals before making any investment decisions.
That's right, Jordan. Duke Energy is certainly an interesting story as they navigate this data center supercycle while maintaining their focus on customer affordability and reliable service. We'll be watching to see how they execute on that massive capital plan. Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. I'm Alex with Jordan, and we'll catch you next time for more AI-powered earnings insights.
Until next time, keep those portfolios diversified and those expectations realistic.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.